2. So they rode away from a town that mostly slept in emotional exhaustion, despite the quake which had struck it. The day was cool enough so that when they started out they could see their breath on the air, and a light scrim of frost coated the dead cornstalks. A mist hung over the Divartiti Huai, like the river's own spent breath. Roland thought, this is the edge of winter. An hour's ride brought them to the Arroyo country. There was no sound but the jingle of trace, the squeak of wheels, the clop of horses, an occasional sardonic honk from one of the albino asses pulling the fly, and distant, the call of rusties on the wing. Headed south, perhaps, if they could still find it. 10 or 15 minutes after the land began to rise on their right, filling in with bluffs and cliffs and mesas, they returned to the place where, just 24 hours before, they had come with the children of the Kala and fought their battle. Here, a track split off from the east road and rambled more or less northwest. In the ditch on the other side of the road was a raw trench of earth. It was the hide where Roland, his quartet, and the ladies of the dish had waited for the wolves. And, speaking of the wolves, where were they? When they'd left this place of ambush, it had been littered with bodies. Over 60, all told, man-shaped creatures who had come riding out of the west wearing gray pants, green cloaks, and snarling wolf masks. Roland dismounted and walked up beside Henchik, who was getting down from the two-wheeled fly with the stiff awkwardness of age. Roland made no effort to help him. Henchik wouldn't expect it, might even be offended by it. The gunslinger let him give his dark cloak a final settling shake, started to ask his question, and then realized he didn't have to. 40 or 50 yards farther along, on the right side of the road, was a vast hill of uprooted corn plants where no hill had been the day before. It was a funerary heap, Roland saw, one which had been constructed without any degree of respect. He hadn't lost any time or wasted any effort wondering how the Falcon had spent the previous afternoon before beginning the party they were now undoubtedly sleeping off, but now he saw their work before him. Had they been afraid the wolves might come back to life, he wondered, and knew that on some level, that was exactly what they'd feared. And so they dragged the heavy, inert bodies, gray horses as well as gray-clad wolves, off into the corn, stacked them willy-rolly, then covered them with uprooted corn plants. Today they'd turn this beer into a pyre, and if the Semenon winds came, Roland guessed they'd light it up anyway and chance a possible conflagration in the fertile land between road and river. Why not? The growing season was over for the year, and there was nothing like fire for fertilizer, so the old folks did say. Besides, the Falcon would not really rest easy until that hill was burned. And even then, few of them would like to come out here. Roland, look, Eddie said in a voice that trembled somewhere between sorrow and rage. Ah, God damn it, look! Near the end of the path, where Jake, Benny Slightman, and the Tavery twins had waited before making their final dash for safety across the road, stood a scratched and battered wheelchair. Its chrome winking brilliantly in the sun, its seat streaked with dust and blood. The left wheel was bent severely out of true. Why do you speak in anger? Henchik inquired. He had been joined by Cantab and half a dozen elders of what Eddie sometimes referred to as the Cloak Folk. Two of these elders looked a good deal older than Henchik himself. And Roland thought of what Rosalita had said last night. Many of them nigh as old as Henchik trying to climb that path after dark. Well, it wasn't dark, but he didn't know if some of these would be able to walk as far as the upsy part of the path to Doorway Cave, let alone the rest of the way to the top. They brought your woman's rolling chair back here to honor her. And you. So why do you speak in anger? Because it's not supposed to be all banged up, and she's supposed to be in it, Eddie told the old man. Do you ken that, Henchik? Anger is the most useless emotion, Henchik intoned. Destructive to the mind and hurtful of the heart. Eddie's lips thinned to no more than a white scar below his nose, but he managed to hold in a retort.